Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I am Alex at TSB Pod. He is King at Jeromney. He is Ski at TSB Ski. Tweet at one of those handles if you want us to watch your movie. It's going to be in a few weeks. Or you can join our Discord, Sports Brewery in Discord. If you need an invitation to that, just ask us anywhere and we'll send you that. Also, if you're already on Discord, just search for Sports Brewery and join it. Also, we are on Twitch, twitch.tv/abrog87, A-B-R-A-W-G-8-7. We record our sports podcast on that every Thursday around 7:30. So if you want to watch that, join the chat. It's a good time. Our movie this week is Ski's movie, and it is Ricky Stenicki. Came out this year, 2024. It is on Prime. It has a 46% on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.2 on IMDb, and a 44 on Metacritic. It actually just came out like
a week or so
ago.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago. It came out March 7th. We're recording this on Sunday, March
24th?
Never mind. It came out a few weeks ago. Let's just say that. The movie stars John Cena as Ricky Stenicki, or Rod. What's his full name? Do you remember? It was Rod something. Yeah, it was like Rod the... Yeah, anyway. Zac Efron plays Dean. Andrew Santino, the redhead stand-up comedian, plays JT. Jermaine Fowler plays Wes. Lex Scott Davis...
Are you talking about Rock Hard Rod.
That was it. Rock Hard Rod. Thank you. Lex Scott Davis plays Aaron. William H. Macy plays Summer Hayes, and Jeff Ross plays Rabbi Greenberg.
Of course Jeff Ross does. Mm-hmm.
Makes total sense to me.
Oh, yeah.
This movie was... Yeah, go ahead.
Does Jeff Ross actually look that old? Or was that like some makeup and stuff? Like, were they trying to make him look like he's...
Oh, you mean like... I think they cut his hair. I think that he is like old.
He's not aging well.
No, he isn't.
I think that roasting tour does something. Yes. It's just bourbon and cigars every fucking night.
Yeah. I think he and Dave Attell are doing another like thing too.
Attell?
My guy, did you watch their special, the Bump and Mike thing? It was
what is
great.
That on?
It was great. I don't remember. I thought it was like Netflix or something.
Okay,
otherwise,
I'll have to look that up.
Oh, I think it was Netflix. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to see it. Yeah. Oh.
I just saw Dave Attell in something. I watched that Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the one with Donald Glover.
He's in that?
He has a bit role as like he owns like a store. But at first I was like, who the fuck is this? I was like, I know that guy. I was like, that's fucking Dave Attell. Dave Attell, that's All Night with Dave Attell right there.
Man, what
Insomniac,
a throwback.
Right?
Insomniac, yeah.
Yeah. God, Dave Attell is so great. I can't like... say enough how fantastic Dave Attell is. Apparently he's like sober now. He's super healthy and yeah it's great. Other than the cigarettes, I think he smokes. I think I heard him on Mark Maron's podcast and he's like he smokes like two packs a day.
Yeah. Other than that,
other than the nicotine that's definitely going to kill him very soon. He's very healthy. Yeah.
Hey, it's not the nicotine that kills you. It's the tobacco and the carbons in it.
Yeah. That message brought to you by Zyn.
Zyn, sponsor us.
Yeah, right. Please support Ski and King's habit. Yeah.
King's not on the Zyn train.
Yeah, no. Not yet. He would be a sponsor.
Nope. Yeah. No, never again.
No, you're done. Good for you.
2019. For you. No longer.
Good for you, man. This movie, Ricky Stenicki, was written by 8 people.
It was.
8 people wrote this movie.
But really, really only one person wrote this movie.
Peter Farrelly.
Peter Farrelly. Yes.
So So it was written by Peter Farrelly, Brian Jarvis, Pete Jones, Mike Cerrone. Those are the only ones really worth mentioning, just because they also did other things. Jarvis wrote on that Loudermilk TV show.
Funny. It's a weird humor, but
Ron Livingston. He's great.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Jones wrote Hall Pass. Cerrone wrote Three Stooges, which I don't know.
Will Sasso vehicle.
Yeah, yeah. The Will Sasso vehicle. Farrelly also directed this movie. He, of course, known for Something About Mary, you know, Kingpin, Dumb and Dumber.
So, on that note, when you first watched those movies, you thought they were pretty stupid, right? Funny, but Farrelly's sense of humor it's a pretty dumb sense of humor, right?
It is. 1,000%. Yep.
So did that skew your vision of this movie? Were you watching this in the eyes of, oh, I'm watching a Farrelly movie?
I was not. I sort of took this movie at face value as it was coming along. I noticed like a few little Farrelly Brothers touches in this movie, but it wasn't nearly as extreme as like Kingpin or Dumb and Dumber. I think he really was like sort of trying to play more towards the middle.
It reminded me of like his humor from Stuck on You.
Yeah, like the movie had a good heart, and
Stuck on You did as well. So it was
And like the extreme stuff that Ricky Stenicki did wasn't that extreme.
What was it? Hot Bod Rod?
Yeah, no, Rock Hard Rod.
Rock Hard Rod.
Yeah. Rock Hard Rod. Yeah.
The dogs fucking. I mean, that's Farrelly to a T in my eyes.
The dog sex show is very Farrelly Brothers. Yeah. So, but real quick, movie's budget $49.7 million. There is no box office because it is a Prime movie and was not released in the theaters.
So there is some backstory to this movie. So this movie was greenlit and ready to shoot in 2010.
Whoa.
The star at the time for that, as Ricky Snicky, was James Franco. It fell through. 3 years later, they get back on to make it with Joaquin Phoenix as Ricky Snicky. It torpedoes again. Another couple years later, they get Jim Carrey on.
Oh.
That falls flat. You know, something happens again. They did it a fourth time, ready to shoot, with Nicolas Cage as Ricky Stenicki. And something happened where Cage wanted it to be more, some like more action shit in it. And it ended up falling through again. And then it got onto John Cena. Which, watching this movie, I kind of, other than Jim Carrey, I could see doing that role well. The other three, not at all.
I don't think Jim Carrey would be very good. Like, I don't know that Jim Carrey's sort of made for this role. I don't know. Like, and it might just be because like we just saw Cena do it, and I think Cena did a pretty good job.
You saw John Cena?
Can't see him. I can't.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for making that joke. but you know, like I thought he was good in it. And I don't like Joaquin Phoenix.
That does not work.
No.
I mean, this is pre-Joker. This is, you know, semi-no-name Joaquin Phoenix. And the one with Cage is apparently Cage wanted people to remember that he could be in comedies again. That's why he signed on to do it.
That's why he did Willy's Wonderland.
That's why he did Willy's, with his six lines.
Got fired from this, had to do Willy's Wonderland instead.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, had to do. I can't believe I put it like that.
Difference of opinion on the how the movie should go.
That's amazing. Like that's one of the more amazing storylines for a movie I've ever heard in my life. Like the fact that this began like 15 years ago almost with we're talking about like huge names. Like we're not talking about like low level people. Like John Cena's not really a huge name. Like he is in like obviously he's one of the biggest wrestlers ever, but in terms of acting and being in movies, like he's up there. But he's not Joaquin Phoenix and he's not Jim Carrey. Like, that's an or Nick Cage. That's insane.
No.
Insane.
And do you guys see this movie a different way now, knowing that it should have been made 15 years ago? Like, does the humor, obviously, I'm sure they changed some jokes. I mean, with Santino in it, I'm sure he ad-libbed a lot of things, but I mean, the premise seems more 2010 in my eyes.
Yeah. You know, thinking about it, I think one of the good things about the movie and the way he wrote it is that a lot of the stuff is sort of timeless.
Yeah,
and so, I mean, a lot the jokes that like hit the hardest are very timeless. Like, I think the funniest part of this movie is the songs that he did. Like while he's doing his like his quote another, unquote X-rated songs. Yeah.
Another very fairly thing in my eyes.
Yes. Yes.
The songs.
So let's see. I wrote them down. He did Devo. He did Alice Cooper, Billy Idol. He did Frampton. And then he dressed up as Britney Spears. We never actually saw him sing a Britney Spears spoof, but amazing stuff from Cena. And as we all know, Cena, a very accomplished rapper in real life too. So just musical talent.
Just
spewing from Cena.
Limitless talent coming.
But yeah. Before we go on, shout out to our Discord friend, Rick Nodgers, who always, whenever John Cena comes up, asks us, why are we letting him get away with having hair plugs? We get it. He has hair plugs.
He does.
There was a line in this movie where he made fun of he didn't really make fun. He commented on William H. Macy's character's hair plugs, which was like, Oh, okay. One hair plug job was better than the other, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very clear. Yeah. And,
another classic Farrelly thing was with William H. Macy with the air cocks. I mean, that's...
Got man, to get William H. Macy to do those scenes is beautiful.
I mean, that's
the art.
That's the cooler right there, William H. Macy. Getting him to do that.
That's art. That is art. And to do the double one too. No, that is, man. That's classic Farrelly stuff. Like, and you know, like watching this movie, it didn't feel like, you know, because I think that's sort of a thing with Farrelly Brothers stuff is, you know, like Kingpin with like the thoroughly disgusting neighbor, like the really gross like neighbor. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Like that
the
is
too.
That's like the landlord.
The
yeah.
landlord. That's right. That's right. It feels kind of out of place. Like a lot of their jokes that are like the over the top ones feel like they're shoehorned into the movie just because they had this like disgusting idea that they found really funny. And they're like, I got to get it in the movie. I didn't feel that way with anything in this movie. Even like the, you know, quote unquote over the top stuff that was in this movie, like it felt natural to the story and the way it was going.
So it didn't feel shoehorned in like a Woody Harrelson thinking he's milking a cow when they only have a steer and then takes a big hug of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Exactly like that. Or like they did, shit. What's it called? Me, Myself, and Irene, right?
That
they
too.
Do that? Yeah. Like all the scene where he wakes up, why do I have an erection? And he just peeing all over the wall and stuff like,
well, usually in the Farrelly Brothers, like all the characters are depraved. In this, it's really only Stanicky that's, you know,
and he's not,
well,
he's depraved for like 5 minutes of this movie. And then he gets sober and sorts his life out and changes his name to Ricky Stanicky and is suddenly a good guy and there's like a happy ending and
hell yeah
happy ending with Rock Hard Rod.
Was that the Briss?
Wow, by the way. Wow. by the way with a cigar cutter. I laugh.
The Ross coming and jumping in front of the guy to eat the ketamine pill. I mean, Or the slow-mo of him doing it. Just
the slow-mo of the rabbi catching the ketamine pill.
So I'm going to say this right now also. So last week we watched Bottoms. Froggy, you and I especially kind of hammered on it. Bottoms is a better comedy, right? I think it's written better. It's got a better story in my eyes. But this is funnier. And when you break it down a dumb comedy movie, this movie's worse, but it's funnier, and therefore it's better in my eyes.
I don't agree. I don't think Bottoms was written better. I don't think Bottoms is like a funnier, better movie in any
no,
way.
No, Bottoms wasn't say, funnier. Bottoms was written say, better.
It written better is what I'm saying. Yes.
I don't agree. I think this movie was written better too.
Whoa.
I gave
Bottoms a one.
I know. It was crazy.
It's a horrible movie.
You guys were terrible. I was embarrassed that podcast came out. I gave it a two when I felt.
Hey, is your wife standing next to you again?
No, like, no, dude, no.
No, baby, it's a six. Yeah, no, totally.
I wish he liked lesbians a little bit more. You know what I mean?
No, the plot of this movie is stupid. I mean, it's very dumb. But when you have someone that can actually write comedy better, it makes for a better comedy movie. That's what I'm saying.
I think the way the friend group acted off each other was really good. Like, I think they, like, the way Efron, Santino, and Fowler, acted with each other was really, really good and felt like legit. Like it felt real the way they were interacting with each other. That's sort of the thing too, is like a lot of the, like even like the stepmom or whatever who was, you know, trying to suss out that Nikki was not real, like those dynamics with like the different personalities with the different moms and stuff, and you know, like the wife and all of those things, that felt very real. And like this movie's way more grounded than I think any other Farrelly Brothers movie that I can think of for sure.
Because they dumped it all on the Stanicky. I mean, in the fashion of this movie, it was Stanicky that did everything crazy, really. All the other, like you said, the main characters were grounded. I mean, one of them was a, you know, pothead slash taking ketamine just for fun kind of thing, writing children's books. And the other two were finance guys. It's like you can't have too depraved of a character when they have those backgrounds.
Would they call it like meth NBC? Yeah. It's like meth NBC.
Meth NBC.
Yeah.
No. But to that point, I think it is something to say because they got like an actual comic in there. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of maybe like melds the kind of their interactions together better.
You mean Santino?
With Santino, yeah. Who actually is, you know, becoming more and more of an actor than, you know, most comics are, especially.
Yeah, you know, like Jermaine Fowler was really good too. Like he had a big part in this movie, like him connecting with Cena's character. And was like a really big part of this movie, and sort of it was one of the things that showed, you know, Stanicky actually gave a shit about them, and that he's actually a benefit to them. I agree.
Did you guys kind of feel this movie was maybe like 15 minutes too short? Because usually I thought they would have like, you know, gone into like them actually becoming friends and stuff.
I'll never say that about a movie.
No.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well, you could have taken 15 minutes from elsewhere and added that to it.
You know,
the post credits kind of did what I was saying, but would like to maybe see more of that.
I take that back. Before we started doing these, and before we did 113 movie episode podcasts where we watch a movie every week, I probably would have said yes. But because I'm to the point where it's where I take shifts watching movies now, it's like a process for me. Even if the movie's great, which I did enjoy this movie, I start the movie for a half an hour, get up, do something, come back, watch a little more. Like I have trouble like sitting down and watching a full movie by myself right now.
I mean, my first choice was going to be Heat, and that movie is 2 hours and 56 minutes long. For the sake of all three of us, I chose to an hour and a half long movie.
And the listener, by the way. Like, think of the listener. Like, well, somebody's going to watch a movie and then just listen to people talk about it and it's 3 hours long? Like, no way, man.
Heat is at least a good watch for 3 hours. That's the only reason why this isn't, you know, some Scorsese movie that's 4 hours long, like the Killers of the Flower Moon kind of thing, where it's slow.
You know, I don't know. I've never seen a circumcision happen, but I don't think that's how it works. beyond the cigar cutter thing, I don't think Jeff Ross's interpretation of what a circumcision looks like was accurate either. Even though he's high on KO, as they put it. Fuck it, let's KO this motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's good stuff, man. I love the scene where he got William H. Macy to say fuck you to the guy, too. I thought that was funny, too. Right. Like, yeah, fuck you, Billings. Fuck you.
There's a lot of that. Like, the guy that gave him the tickets to that DJ show, he's all hobbled up. And Santino's like, yeah. Oh, thank you very much. Fuck you. Thank you. And he's like,
you don't deserve that. Hey, hey. Yeah.
You piece of shit.
Mark Rebelay. They went and saw a Mark Rebelay show. I fucking love that guy, by the way.
Oh, I hate that guy.
Do you? I'm sick
of that bit.
Yeah.
I'm in a robe.
You know what? Like, to your point, I haven't seen him in forever. Last I remembered, I love that guy.
Maybe he's so, changed.
Maybe
I'm just saying. I was like, I'm kind of over the COVID bit.
COVID bit, right? Yeah, that's his whole thing too. He wears the robe and his underwear on stage.
I'm clearly in the minority because he's touring nationally. I'm just saying. For me, I was like, I'm over it.
Watching that show makes it seem fun. Like if you're in a place like Vegas or Atlantic City and you go to his show.
Oh, I'm sure the show is
and
fun.
You're hammered. Like,
oh, I'm sure the fun. Show is fun. Just the YouTube bits, the TikTok. Man.
Let's not try to prop up fucking Atlantic City like it's some awesome place. Atlantic City's a shithole.
Yeah. Yeah, they did really glorify Atlantic City in this movie, didn't they? Like, wow. They kind of made it look like Vegas. Like, by the way, it's my opinion, Vegas is also, like, a piece of shit. Like, Vegas sucks.
Vegas has glitz and glam, at least.
Vegas sucks?
I've been to Vegas twice. Didn't enjoy it either time.
What did you do?
Yeah, just, it's Vegas. I just I don't know.
But what did you do?
Stuff. I went to shows. We've talked about it on the podcast. I went to shows, like, went through casinos and did all that stuff. Like, I don't know.
It's just not your scene?
It's not my scene. I don't think so. I had good times. It's not my scene. Yeah. It is what it is. I've sidetracked us.
Yeah, you're moving to Cottage Grove and living in a hole soon. I can just see it.
Cottage Grove might be the only place I can afford to move.
Cottage Grove's actually, I think, more expensive now.
It's definitely not, by the way. It's definitely it's not. Okay. As somebody who's looking to buy a house right now, it's definitely not.
Oh, God.
It's also like a 45-minute drive. I'm not taking 45 minutes to take my kid to school every day. Like,
not to sidetrack stuff, but goddamn, housing prices. We built some houses around here. Holy fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Not ideal.
No.
I had something to say.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something else to talk about. Go for it.
I forgot. I had something good to say, too.
Oh, okay. Was it about being a world-class air dicker?
Air dicker.
It's a great term. It's a great term. It's fantastic. He told a story about walking in on Bono having sex with his wife, and then Bono inviting him to just, like, sit and watch. Or, like, join in? I forget. Yeah. It's good, too, man.
Like I said, there was a lot of things from that character that were ridiculous.
Yes. I like he has a seizure at the airport because he hasn't been drinking for 3 days.
Longest time ever, he said.
Longest time he's ever not drank. three days, and so he has a seizure and then starts pissing himself just standing there.
I will just say, I did get a good chuckle from, you think, or maybe like mob guys trying to track him down and get
him. That was good.
And it's guys having a cease and desist from Billy Idol. It's like, yeah, that's comical.
That was good because it was like a thing they introduced really early in the movie, too, that he was running away from these mob looking dudes. Yeah. Did that go how you thought it was going to go? He knocks him over. Yeah. I like this movie, man. I really did. You know, like, I've been a fan of the Farrelly brothers, you know, for a long time. And I think this is like, I don't know, again, it's a different movie because it's not as over the top. But I think in terms of actual like movies, I think this is up there. Like, I don't know.
Up there for Farrelly brother movies?
Yeah. So again, I mean, we're comparing it to like Dumb and Dumber and something about Mary. And,
the greatest beer run ever.
Greatest beer run ever.
That's what I was going to say. Did you guys notice Efron's, because we watched The Greatest Beer Run Ever, which I think was pretty soon after his like whatever fuck he needed for his chin. It looked different again in this. It looked a little more chiseled instead of like the big flat chin that he had from Beer Run.
What? Did he get it for the wrestling movie?
No, I think he actually got like injured and needed it, but I forgot about, I haven't seen the wrestling movie, but he had that, the big chin in that too.
Yeah, isn't that what happened? He like got in an accident or something and had to get chin surgery. Well, like
that's what they say. Could have just got it, but
you know, he did look.
He looked more like
significantly smaller. Yeah, he looks significantly smaller in this movie. Like especially.
Yeah, I'm now looking at pictures between the two. Yeah.
It was very very squared off when it from the Beer Run one. So.
His eyes are a little faker in Stimicky, though. Yeah, he's mm-hmm. got a little lift,
right? A little touch. Yeah,
he got those shades tightened a little bit.
Just a little touch up. That doesn't hurt anything.
They ain't dropping down, if you know what I mean. They're all the way open. It's too bad. He's a beautiful man.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Hollywood man.
You guys ever had an imaginary friend?
No.
You ever know anybody who had an imaginary friend?
I struggled to have real friends.
Drop Dead Fred. That's all I know.
Yeah, like committing to like real people is hard enough.
It's
like,
such a bother.
You know, what I'm going to like, bother. I'm going to have a fake person here that I'm going to have a conversation with. Forget that. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't want one because they could just be in my shower with me. It's weird. I don't want that.
Yeah, my imaginary,
I'm trying to take a shit here, man. Leave me alone.
My imaginary friend is a pervert. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, wouldn't that's my even, oldest kid.
What wouldn't help me? Wouldn't help me connect my bidet, but then wants to watch me on it? Like, forget that. Sorry.
Oh, how did we not talk about that on Thursday?
Hey, we can talk about it right now.
How's it feeling?
It's good. It took some adjusting. Yeah. You know, like it's
pressure or just getting used to.
You got to figure out the pressure because, you know, the first couple times you got to like dry, you know, so you got to use something to like dry it. The first couple times you're like, well, there's still something going on here. So maybe I need to up the pressure a little bit.
and also,
you know what you really pay attention to when you have a bidet is like the consistency of what's coming up. You know, you pay attention to it because you're like, how much pressure am I going to need? Like, what's going to do the trick here? And so that's what you think. I feel like the first week of me using it, that's what it was. It was me figuring out.
It's a learning curve.
I love watching people learn new things.
It's what works for me. You know, it's like anything else in life.
Are you replacing your cup of coffee in the morning now with just a cold jolt of ice cold water?
No, that's all I need. No, that's a wonderful addition to my morning. You know, you drink your coffee, you're up for like an hour, and then you go in there and you're good for the rest of the day, man. Yeah. You are good. It's a full body thing now, you know? It's like coffee gets the insides all warm, you're going, and then you get that cold jolt in your asshole and you're good to go for the day. I don't know what else human beings need, but I got it covered. Oh, man, that was such a... I didn't have a good enough tool to be able to take the part off the back of my toilet. So it's supposed to be like a easy spinoff, and mine was not. Whoever connected it, like, tightened it really tight, and I did not have the right thing for it. So I tried really hard. It kept turning, you know, like you turn the thing, and it's connected to the part that's inside the whatever it's called.
Reservoir.
It was turning with it, and I'm like, well, I don't want to break this because then I got to replace the entire thing. So I had to go to Jerry's and get a fucking part, and then
that's
come
the
back
worst.
And,
Yeah,
but then I got it connected away.
Just wait until you're looking to buy a house. Just wait, then you're gonna be doing that shit all the fucking time.
Yeah, you know what I don't have that you mentioned in our Discord, King, was the warming feature. So I guess
I don't use it.
I guess some connections have the ability to sort of bring over warm water from another source or something like that. Mine doesn't. I just have the cold thing coming out of the water.
Hell yes. Yeah. This time of year, I take a cold shower in the morning with the window open right after blasting my asshole with cold fucking water, and I'm better for it.
Cold shower, spritz your asshole with cold water, you're good
to
go.
I do hate cold showers, though. That's the worst.
No.
No, that whole therapy thing, therapeutic.
Better for you.
That's what they say.
But I take them in the summer when it's like 90 degrees. I go for my jog. I come back. I take a cold shower. That's the best. That's the absolute best. That's the only time. Otherwise, you're insane.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good talk. That's how my asshole's doing. Thanks for asking.
You. Yeah. Do you shave your asshole?
Shaving, risky if you're shaving.
Thank you. Legit, I have a legitimate answer to that. No. And the reason is because the asshole is kind of like it's like a wrinkly thing, you know? Like if you're, there's no flat surface, you know? So.
I mean, that's why you got wax and like Nair. That's the only thing. Something sharp is not going near my asshole.
Yeah, ski talking from experience here, by the way.
He has definitely tried this out.
Yes, he had two alternatives too quick.
Well, you need options. And what one is not a blade.
My lady likes a clean asshole. I don't know what to tell you.
Gotta
do what I gotta do.
That'll the bidet will treat you even nicer. It's nice and smooth back there.
He giving her a treat, man. I'm not even mad. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Very progressive. I like that. You love to see it.
Use the bidet long enough, the brown star turns into a white star. It starts denting those stains. Just telling you.
Science.
I'm a vet in the game.
Yeah, you're still a veteran.
You throw like a little thimble of bleach into the reservoir when you do it.
Every 6 months, yep.
Every 6 months, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man. Our conversation turned into a Farrelly Brothers movie.
I said fit the theme for the movie here.
You gotta love it, man. Let's go ahead and grade this thing. Do you have it? Or unless you have anything else to say.
What's it out of this week?
We're gonna go out of 5. Okay, it is Ski's movie, so do the honors.
All right, I'm gonna give it a solid 3. Like I said, it's not a great movie in my eyes, but it's funny. So it and comedy, that's good.
I'll give it a 2.25.
Yeah, I'm sort of along the lines of Ski, like 3.25. I think.
Oh, wow!
I like this movie.
Wow!
I enjoyed it. I thought, like I said, I think the friend group felt really authentic. I think Cena was good. I don't know. I think the thing that sort of like turned me off about some of the other Farrelly Brothers movies was that over the top trying to be gross stuff. It's like it felt forced, and it was like, okay, like
that's the best bit. Harry blowing out that toilet in Dumb and Dumber. I mean, that's one of the best things.
But,
from it.
there's a difference. Dumb and Dumber, I feel like the movie's called Dumb and Dumber. Like it establishes very early that the whole movie's going to be that stuff. So you're sort of on board. But it's like some of the stuff like in Kingpin, like it just didn't really do it for me. And
Cameron Diaz rubbed a load through her hair.
That she did.
This movie's tame compared to most of theirs.
Very tame. Yeah. Yeah.
Which, like I said, other than the dog sex thing is the one thing that will go toe-to-toe with all the other movies.
X-rated dog show. And they put that in a news story.
Yes, they did. Showed it.
On MSNBC, they blacked out the... Yeah. Uh-huh.
Interesting choice.
I guess we know it's Atlantic City. I was going to say, like, what part of the world / country could you see a dog sex show?
Because definitely somewhere in New Jersey. Yeah. On the shore.
I guess
Jersey Shore. Yeah.
Yes.
Because I'm fairly.
And Nebraska.
I mean, that's probably illegal, right? I don't know. Like, you see dogs. I mean, you go to a dog park, you see some dogs having sex. So, I mean, huh. Is it only like illegal if you charge people to watch it? Like how does that work?
Something to ponder. I'll put that in the ponder file.
Yeah.
But
then in the Christian ponder file. That's how I'll put it.
Yeah, things that make you go, huh?
Huh.
I don't know. Gross. Yeah. I did like the movie though. I like the Bible thing too, where so we didn't even really talk about the opening of this movie, where like the kids create this thing to get out of an arson charge, create Ricky Snicky to get out of an arson charge, and then as life goes on, they create this Bible with all of the lies they've told about him. They create the IG profile and all these things, and yeah, it was good. And Cena playing the actor gets the Bible and takes his role seriously, man. Good stuff.
Cena, I think in the whole scope of Hollywood, Cena's found his niche with roles.
He has, yeah.